WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Everybody, this is
Biff
Naked. When I grow up, I
want to
be just like Trish Stratus.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio.
This is Wildcat Chris Harris.
You are listening to Jack Evans' sweet, soothing voice.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
What the hell is this?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Come here, don't be afraid. There's no reason to be afraid.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
The Gremlins, Kate.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Patriotic little fella, waving a flag and everything.
The Omega.
He has something to say to you.
Heartbreak Mike.
Never feed him after midnight. You got it?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
I make the illogical logical, and I have something here that I think you might be interested in.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Becky Bayless.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It's the best there is. And I know, because so am I. I'm Austin Aries.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, I know. Who hadn't got a story?
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
I'm going to check the antenna. Maybe the damn thing blew down.
WTR Sunday Night. Yum, yum.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done with WWE SummerSlam 2019. An event that was stolen by someone walking into the room. I'm sure there's something else that happened. We'll probably talk about all of it at some point here or there.
It was very stressful.
It was.
It was.
It absolutely was.
It was. We'll get there.
We will get there. Yes, there is actually a lot to talk about besides one semi-debut. So we have a lot to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is WTR Sunday Night. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we're down a Heartbreak mic. So, I presume Sir Rockin' will be chiming in.
I believe I'm being told I'm chiming in tonight. Yeah. It's in my ear. Yes, I am chiming in tonight.
Okay.
Rock, make sure you chime in tonight.
Okay. I got it. Chiming in.
Excellent.
Okay. Cool.
So, and the one that somehow has to bring it all together has had to do it for years. Haven't seen it yet. The one and only Tim Stein.
Hi. What did you just say?
Nothing.
I think I heard something.
No. I'm cute and innocent.
Let's see. Cute? No, I've seen pictures. No. Innocent? I've heard stories. No. Sorry. No.
Did nothing.
I chimed.
What the hell was that?
I chimed. That was me chiming in.
That's not the type of chiming in we're expecting. You to do. Anyway, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Hey, it's the SummerSlam pay-per-view review show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for joining us all across the World Wide Web. Let's see. We've got TuneIn. We've got Twitch. We've got the website itself, complete with a chat room, which would be www.wildtalkradio.com. You want to get interactive and chat with us. We chat back in the chat room. We really do. Omega doesn't because he never goes into the chat room because I don't know, for some reason he can't find it. Mike, well, you know, when he shows up, no, Mike doesn't go in the chat room either. Rock, it's up to you and me.
It's always up to me. Anyway, all right, a couple of things.
And me.
couple things off the bat right now. We're back. We're live. Sorry about last week. Sorry about last week. A lot of technical stuff last week.
Yeah, believe it or not, you couldn't blame it on me this time.
This was not Tim's fault.
A lot of times aren't my fault, but that's beside the
point. A lot of times are your fault, but that's beside the point. We're here this week. Things have improved for now. Hopefully Windows doesn't throw me into a panic like it did last night, but we're here tonight. That's all that matters.
And welcome.
So, the first thing we need to talk about tonight, the show did not go as long as expected.
It did not. It didn't feel like a SummerSlam to me.
Why?
Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the pay-per-view, you know, the 92% that I was able to see. I don't know. It's weird. Like, how many years in a row have we had SummerSlam outdoors?
We haven't had SummerSlam outdoors since 1992.
Is that true? We didn't have SummerSlam outdoors last year?
No.
No. Okay.
No, it was SummerSlam.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's SummerSlam, which should be outdoors. So, like, you know, if it does rain or shit like that, hold it outdoors. Even if it does rain or shit like that. It felt like a really, really good pay-per-view. It just didn't have that SummerSlam vibe to me, Omega.
I mean, I know, it felt like a SummerSlam to me. It had some big name matches. It relied maybe on part-timers a little bit too much.
So SummerSlam. Yeah. What it does. Part of it, because the way it was structured, it was a 4-week build for a majority of the matches. And it's only August, what, 11th?
Yeah.
It's early for a SummerSlam.
It's very early.
It's like, it should be 2 weeks from now. And that's sort of why it doesn't feel like, it's just like, oh, it's an August pay-per-view tonight, sort of.
Yeah, why did it happen so early in the month? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody?
Scheduling? They wanted to do Toronto, and I guess it's where they could fit it in. I'm not sure. But
well, you know, they've got a whole bunch of Toronto Raptors things planned for the Scotia Center down in Toronto from the middle of August right up until the beginning of the new NBA season. Okay. So, yeah, maybe.
All right. So we're going to do things a little differently tonight. We'll give you all the winners and all the losers, but we need to talk about the high points to start off the show. High point number one, Bray Wyatt, the Fiend's entrance. Holy crap.
Jesus Christ.
That was a thing.
Was that a thing?
It was one of those moments where I kind of forget I'm watching a wrestling show I'm supposed to bleed, and I know it's all fake. That was legitimately terrifying.
The lantern. What the hell?
Jesus Christ, the lantern!
Okay, the one thing you can say about this whole Bray Wyatt Fiend whole setup, he spent money, they spent money, because the mask and everything.
Mask, the sets and puppets for Firefly?
Mm-hmm.
That fucking lantern. God, there is some genuine, just like genuine horror imagery going on there.
I like the remix to the song.
Yeah, it's very creepy.
It's very scary, very creepy.
Creepy is a good word for it.
I like that they gave him a full entrance too, because there was talk, it's like he's just going to appear in the ring. It's like, no, Bray needs his entrance, and like they gave it to him. It felt very Undertaker-esque, which is good. And then he got in the ring, and the crowd went apeshit for him.
Yeah, and Finn sold it perfectly.
Finn was the right opponent.
Well, because he's drawn that reaction as the demon. Mm-hmm. Like, the look he had on his face was the look the Ascension had when the demon first showed up.
Also, he wore white. I don't know if white was a smart move. It was like, white was perfect, but it wasn't, may have not been the best outfit. Because, you know, he could have shit his pants on the entrance. I'm just saying. But, yeah. Bray tried to break his neck during the match. This character, they got something here.
Yeah. Like, I think it says a lot when he steals the Undertaker's look back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind him doing it.
Nope. This was...
Like, everything here is set perfectly. Like, I'm happy... Like, the mandible claw works perfectly for the Fiend.
It does.
Him
jumping off was a little awkward.
Yeah.
But it worked. I don't know if Finn getting some offense in was good or bad. I'm torn a bit by that. Like, the comeback offense, I'm just like, wasn't sure. But it made sense because he paused for the heal and hurt thing. So it's like, it gave him the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I could see it. Just, I don't know. But now, after being Finn, he's just gotta go in there and murder people every single night.
Oh yeah.
This train can't stop it. Just let him roll for person after, treat him like Braun Strowman when he just murders people every single night. Give him, give him job guys, give him low card guys, just let him murder every single person until someone tries to step in his way and have him murder that person then too. Because you have something in here. Don't believe me? Look at WWEshop.com.
I'm just gonna rewatch the entrance like 100 times.
Cause on Shop,
I'll be watching it over again.
Cause on Shop, you have the Fiend mask, the glove, 3 puppets, including the Vince puppet, and a bunch of shirts.
How many kids in that audience, live audience tonight, you think cried from fear?
I don't know, but that one fan cried earlier for the Trish match. When Trish lost, I felt bad for that fan. They did a close up of him. I was like, oh, sorry. They're all in on Bray, and that's what you need. You need to push him in a direction where he's unstoppable for a long time.
Well, you know, it's what they should have done with his original character and didn't. So maybe they might realize they've got something here and actually do something. But if he's going to be coming out with that mask, he definitely needs to be remorseless.
Mm-hmm. But the hand thing works. It's like you could see him fighting it off, but it's like just when he's in that mode, just murder, 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 and that was awesome, Chan at the end. Like,
The crowd really dug it, the entire thing going on. That's for sure.
It's like you gotta keep this momentum like you have a chance. It's a fresh start. Just gotta let it run. We'll see where it goes. Another high point of the show, Charlotte Flair, Trish Stratus.
Very entertaining match. Very good. And, deservedly so. Trish got the You Still Got It chant.
Mm-hmm.
Because she does.
She brought it.
I hate the outfit she wore to wrestle in. What's that?
She's been bringing out the same leotard the last few appearances, so she's doing something else.
Well, you know, not to get sexist, but I'm going to get sexist for a moment here. Let's face it. Women wrestlers today are actual, really, really good competitive athletes, compared to the magazine and swimsuit models that they used to hire and then train after they've been in the ring.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still a man's world and the women still dress up sexy. 95% of them do anyway. But, and I know I'm going to catch
the guys go out there. The guys go out there in their underwear with their muscles oiled up.
Well, yeah, you know, that's for the girls, right? So yeah, I know I'm going to catch flag for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The fact of the matter, and I've stated it before and I've done it a little bit tongue in cheek. The fact of the matter is Charlotte Flair has no booty. She's got what my sister used to call a secretary's ass.
Okay.
And shouldn't wear those short shorts.
Why
if anybody
does this
should be
have
wearing
anything to do with pro wrestling?
This has nothing to do with the match, Tim.
You have absolutely no
I told
no
you
to bring
I told you
up.
I was going to take flack for it. My point is the outfit that
but you're
Trish
not getting flack
wearing.
For being sexist. You're getting flack for bringing up something that has nothing to do with the quality of the wrestling match.
You're forgetting the whole
sexist.
Point.
Yeah.
You're forgetting the whole point. Trish's ass was golden. That's the ass you should talk about, not no flack.
If you had not interrupted me and given me grief, I could have made the bad joke, but Rocky did it for me.
Cause I want to move on to how good this matchup was. Trish brought it in the ring tonight.
Trish did bring it in the ring tonight, and Charlotte, you know, made herself look good. She made Trish look good. It's a case of one wrestler will generally carry the other wrestler, and for this entire match, like, to be serious here, at times it was hard to tell who was carrying whom. It was that good.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's Trish being a little bit rusty in the ring, but also being far more experienced.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it worked so well. Like this is the women's equivalent of Rock versus Hogan. And I wish it had the same level of buildup.
Yeah.
Cause it absolutely deserved it.
3 weeks wasn't enough. Trish doing the figure eight was really spot
that
on.
That was good.
That
it's like
really
when she
good.
Bridged up, it was just.
Yoga pays
oh,
off.
Oh shit. She actually went there.
That yoga
yeah.
Pays
you know
off.
What the best part of that figure eight from Trish was though?
What?
When she gave out and had to drop down because she couldn't hold herself up. It's sold to the average person. Hey, this is not an easy move. I mean, come on now. We'll take a look at, and Charlotte like holds it forever. Look how tough it is. Trish can't hold it. That whole thing, that's illusion. And it's one of those extremely subtle things that, 95% of the people you talk to, well, okay, 98% of the people you talk to would not pick up on that.
Trish tapping to the figure eight was the right finish in this one. Charlotte got the win. Trish got the huge ovation afterwards. It was the right way to do it.
Oh, well, here it is.
To be the last one.
Yeah, the Trish's swan song. When Trish initially retired, she got to go out on top. That's unheard of in the business. She retires winning the women's championship.
This time she passed the torch.
And that's exactly right. This was the torch passing. And you could have picked almost anybody off that roster, and almost anybody off of that roster would not be the right person to have Trish's last match with. That's not Charlotte.
I mean, I make the argument that the women's division we have now, like the average of what we have as far as in-ring quality, is on par with the best we had in the Attitude Era. The game has elevated tremendously since then.
Now, you're saying today's average was 1999's best, and I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah, but you're right. Like, you could give the match to Bayley, and I'd be okay with it. I could give it to Becky. I'd be okay with it because they are phenomenal talents. But, you know, it's Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
I don't fault that decision. She's the right one for this.
Yeah. Now, Trish, like if you go back to her original retirement match, who did she wrestle?
Lita.
She wrestled Lita. Can you name anybody else off of that roster that she could have wrestled for her retirement match?
Molly, Ivory, Victoria.
Mickey James.
Mickey.
And I wouldn't have put her in a retirement match against Molly. As much as, Molly Holly was actually good in the ring for her era, and as much as they did with Molly, not quite big enough.
No, but in terms of match quality, it would have been.
Yeah,
there.
But you can't go for just match quality when it's something like this. And you know that WWE doesn't go for match quality.
I mean, they put Goldberg in the ring tonight.
That was fun. We'll get there.
No, it was fun.
We'll explain why it was fun, Charlie. Bear with us.
So yeah, it was the right opponent, right finish, right way to go out, and that's where we're standing. That's the end of Trish.
Yeah.
She's a mother of two. She doesn't need to keep coming back.
She's which?
She's a mother of two.
Yeah, this is true.
She doesn't need to come back. So, there's that. Staying with the women, you had Natty and Becky. In the
opening up the pay-per-view in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, with the women's title on the line, the SmackDown women's title on the line.
Raw women's title. Close enough.
You know, the
red belt.
You know, one of the women's titles.
The red belt. Just say the red belt.
Okay, the red women's title.
There you go.
I'm still stuck into remembering that, you know, like Becky SmackDown and all that. Bunch of stuff before everything went, don't ask. Anyway, to have Natty open the show, the main show, with Becky. Smart.
Yeah, and they told a great story, they had great psychology. I love the sharpshooter in the turnbuckle.
Oh, wasn't that brilliant?
That was a nice touch.
That was absolutely beautiful. Well, I mentioned to you in Skype chat that I was absolutely loving the in-ring and the wrestling psychology of this match. And it was textbook. It really was. I mean, if anybody knows ring psychology, it's going to be Natalya.
Their trade-off of submissions, really good. And there's been some issues with, you watched TakeOver last night and you saw Candice and Io, they got the crowd, right? Then you had me and Shayna who didn't get the crowd.
Oh, you brought up NXT.
Yeah.
Something that I found a little bit surprising watching NXT last night, no title changes.
There's only one title change this weekend, and we'll talk about it here in a minute.
I was going to point that out. That makes it that much bigger of a deal when we get there.
Mm-hmm. But it was like, the point was, Becky and Natty got the crowd and kept the crowd. Like, you knew they would get the pop early, but they bought into every submission. which is hard to do because sometimes you can lose a crowd in a submission match.
Yeah.
But they can't.
And
the
honestly,
crowd.
I just, you know, honestly, like you say, the crowd bought into it. They bought into both wrestlers. I mean, the chants were going, you know, let's go Becky, let's go Natty. And then you got some of the crowd sometimes were against Becky, but some of the crowd sometimes were against Natty too.
I think it speaks tremendously of what Becky Lynch has accomplished when she can walk into a match in Canada against Natalya and still maintain a face reaction.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But I love how the crowd was trading off, their favoritism.
Right.
From one wrestler to another.
And you wondered throughout the build up, it was like, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? Cause they both sort of went in both directions in the build. So it's like, it's good to see they both played the same parts in the match and it worked.
Yeah. And not to sound like a homer, but I'm going to, this is one of the things I love about a Canadian crowd. We're not going to cheer for who you tell us to cheer. We're going to cheer for who we want to cheer based on what we see. I'm not saying that any other crowd won't do that, but Canadian wrestling fans are more known for it than other countries. It's just a fact. And the fact that they were doing what they were doing was just, it made the match even that much more fun to watch on TV.
Becky retained. Natty did not tap out right away. She sold it. She was struggling. My only complaint is the soft little tap. You could tap a little harder.
Yeah. That bugged me.
The polite little tap is like, oh, I'm just tap, okay.
Well, she is Canadian. I'm sure she said sorry while she was doing it.
Probably.
She didn't. Hey, her and that Matt had been through a lot. She didn't want to hurt it.
There you go.
But that was the only thing that lost me. And I was like, it's just, just politely tapping the mat.
Just patting the mat. Gently petting.
So yeah.
I don't know. Well, maybe she just wound up, because of a lack of, blood flow and oxygen. Maybe she was under the illusion that she had one of her cats beside her.
She was just, I'm not going to make the joke. We're just going to move on. So I talked about how the crowd.
I don't believe it. I wasn't making a joke. I was pointing out that Natty and TJ have a million goddamn cats.
I know. I had a joke in mind. I'm just moving on from
it. Yeah. Yeah. I get where you were going. I can't believe that. That's usually my purview.
Anyway. Moving on.
Anyway.
Let's talk about how the women grabbed the crowd. Bayley and Ember didn't. The match was solid, but they did not get the crowd invested.
Well, no, don't get it twisted. Don't get it wrong. The crowd was watching the match. The crowd was enjoying the match. But you're right. They were not into it like they were with with Natty and Becky. Now, here's the problem. You know for a fact that the Canadians were like champing at the bit to see Natty wrestle in her home country. My thing about this whole thing, if Natty and Becky hadn't been on this card, then Ember and Bayley would have been just absolutely fine.
No, I disagree.
You can disagree all you want, but I'm sticking to my guns on this one. It was a solid match. It was a good match. It had the right elements and entertainment level to it. But I just don't think that, it didn't hold up.
And here's why.
To Becky Natty. It did not. And, my point is, if you didn't have that benchmark.
No,
I'm not even sure it was a benchmark thing because the match was fine, but it wasn't as captivating as it should have been.
Because you didn't build Ember enough.
Well, it's not even that you didn't build Ember enough. It was a weird build to the match too.
Weird build. But they didn't build her. They didn't give her enough. LeMans a chat. They didn't give her enough credibility. You just threw her into the match. Like if you spent. Okay, let's go back a year. Okay, and how they built Becky into SummerSlam, where she was winning, 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 winning for about 2 months straight, and this, you know, she got her SummerSlam match. Ember won one match and sort of won another, but didn't really win matches to say, hey, I'm the top contender. I fought hard to get here. There was an actual story.
Well, yeah. You expanded for there. There wasn't enough buildup. I'm going to agree with you on that one. And it could have been so much more had the thing been built up like that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't think I'm looking at this as a, you know, air quotes, as a wrestling fan.
I mean, for me, the buildup just, cause yeah, Ember wasn't built well enough because you recall before this, she was getting huffy at her book and her Switch getting slapped out of her hands. Like her back in high school or something. And that was the feud. That was all that was. Just to give her some reason to be on TV.
Oh, I've seen stuff like that happen in high school.
Yeah, it happens. People, kids are assholes. But you also had Bayley, who like, okay, Bayley's being champion enough to pick her challenger. Okay, hey, and not be afraid of who she's facing. That's good. Trying to be the, I'm going to take out my challenger, even though we're both faces, and this is supposed to be like the Austin badass thing to do, doesn't work. It's not a good look for Bayley, even like the new serious Bayley.
Bayley retained. The match was solid, but it did nothing to, it wasn't the performance Ember needed to say, I've arrived. It was a solid match. It just didn't take her to the next level.
Shouldn't Ember have had a match that says, I arrived, like when she first showed up?
She should have, but they never gave her the opportunity. Then she got hurt. So it's like she's been building up since coming out of WrestleMania. It's like she returned from injury. It's like they never gave her that benchmark victory, that benchmark match. No. This could have been it, but it wasn't. Couple of quick things before we get to some more of the main show. On the pre-show, the new tag team champions for the women, Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, retained over the Iconics. You had Drew Gulak retain the Cruiserweight title. You had more shenanigans with Drake Maverick and R-Truth and Carmella. You had Apollo Crews and Buddy Murphy have an average match that got interrupted by Eric Rowan, who destroyed Buddy Murphy. He told him to keep my name out of mouth. And then you thought, okay, they're going to build this something with Rowan and Roman on the pay-per-view, and there was no Roman Reigns on this show, even though they did a video package seeming like he was going to be. Anyone surprised? Because I was.
No comment.
People are trying to run him down with a car. Like, I could understand giving him the night off.
But they did, like, a video package for an update, and there was nothing. There was no Daniel Bryan or Roman Reigns on this show. And it's SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That's surprising. But the biggest surprise of the night, Edge hit a spear for the first time in a decade. What?
Okay. Someone's neck is feeling good.
I was surprised they let him do it.
This is all stuff that I wasn't able to watch, unfortunately, because I was still at work.
But no, just go off of this thing. They've medically disqualified him, but they let him do a spear with his neck.
Yeah, no, I get it. And, I'm going to be rewatching the pre-show later on tonight. So.
Okay, so there's that. Speaking of spears, there's Goldberg.
Oh, this match was just joyful.
It was what it needed to be. It was the Goldberg redemption. He took two super kicks, hit a spear, hit a jackhammer, won his match in under 2 minutes. The Goldberg special.
Did he make up for the screw-up against Undertaker?
That was the point.
The concussion. Yeah. Did he make up for it? Yeah?
Yeah. You feed him someone he can do the Goldberg thing with. Take a few moves and brush it off. Spear, jackhammer, call it a day.
Then get called a baby, get hit by another spear, get called out again, hit another spear.
Well, that's the whole thing. After losing the match, getting on the mic like, what, 3 times or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
All they did that for was to reiterate the point. Forget the last match. Just focus on this one, guys. It's Goldberg. He's back.
Yeah, that was fun. So WWE does a watch along on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how Matt Riddle's been out there talking shit? They had him on watch along and he was watching the Goldberg match. It was great. You have to go find it on YouTube. It's great entertainment. He's so disgusted by watching it. It's like, come on, Dolph, you can do better.
Matt who?
Matt Riddle.
Who?
If you say exactly. Who again, he will kick your ass because he's a legit fighter.
Matt Riddell.
So Matt Riddle, if you like Tim's Twitter, it's at Flames Forums. You can do the
I don't
chat.
Sweat you because I have a friend who's the beast from the Middle East.
Just do the complaint command chat. Anyway, so Goldberg got his redemption. You had AJ Styles and Ricochet. Good match.
Mm.
You really can't.
There's no faulting that match.
really.
But it's another case of you were expecting it to be a little more than it was, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I mean, if you love the match, great. Good on you. I was ready to look at this and think, okay, this should be match of the night. Don't know that it got there.
No, it never got to match of the night, but it was good. The finish was really good. The Phoenix Splash and the Styles Clash, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Well, the capital, or the exclamation point complain doesn't work.
No, it does work if you can spell complain correctly.
I was about to say it, you know, it doesn't work because you're not spelling it right. C-O-M-P-L-A-I-N. Not C-O-M-P-L-I-A-N or C-O-M-P-A-I-N.
Or complain. Or he also spelled campaign. So, like, yeah. So,
I don't know. Campaign sounds almost like a Hong Kong dinner dish or something. Like Kung Pao. Kung Pain.
I wasn't so happy with the Magic Killer to Ricochet after the match. I didn't know the point of it, but I guess it means
the point is they were heels.
Yeah. Feud continues.
They were bad guys, so they do a bad thing.
Feud continues?
Apparently.
I guess, fine. I guess that's where it's going.
I just got a feeling it's gonna build up to the point where Ricochet has two people come running out to stay them, and then it winds up being a six-man tag match down the road.
Could be the Usos. Oh, wait, they just can't get to Canada. Oops. Anyway. Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon. Very enjoyable. Great use of Elias in this one. Kevin Owens is over like no other right now.
I enjoyed the shit out of this match.
Go ahead, Omega.
I mean, of course he's over. It's Canada. And Shane has been a supreme douche. But no, like I was happy with the way the match went. Like Owen, like Kevin was getting in just enough behind the official's back where it felt right and not overdone.
Him just started beating on him with a chair. That was great.
Yeah.
Like it was good use of the ref and Elias where you don't, you know, nice distractions, a lot of cheap heat and stuff like that. It was done well. Really done well. He goes for the chair. Standing, the referee says no, okay. Ref moves the chair out, low blow, stunner, Owens wins. You can't ask for much more than that.
Well, what's gonna happen starting tomorrow night and carrying on Tuesday night? Shane's gonna bitch and complain about, being low blowed.
Oh, he'll complain and bitch and moan and...
Call Kevin out and, this'll lead to a cage match so Shane can jump off or something.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Kevin wins. Yay.
But the tease with the chair was really good. Yeah. It was really, that was very well done.
You had Kofi and Randy for the WWE title. Crowd sort of was chanting Kofi sucks.
Okay, Canada's back to being Canada.
Okay.
Welcome to Canada.
I need to address something because this was brought to my attention tonight. Saying Kofi sucks is not racist. Thank you.
Whoa. Okay, explain this to me. Somebody said that was racist?
There are people who think that saying that was racist.
Okay, you dumbass snowflake moron retards. Yeah, I use the word retard. Because doing shit like that, you are absolute fucking morons. I don't believe it. Okay, if you say black people suck, that's racist. Okay? Smarten the fuck up. Oh my god.
Like I said, learn what the word means. Thank you. Anyway, match was okay. Average.
Yeah, well,
the match, there was nothing wrong with the match itself. I mean, the way that they built it up in the preview, right leading up right to the match tonight, is like, okay, well, you know, Randy did this, that, and the other thing to Kobe when Kobe first started out, and this is Kobe's chance for revenge. I didn't like the finish too much, and I'm with the crowd on that one.
I stand correct. It was Kofi stupid was the chant. Still not racist.
I mean, it is Canada that takes wrestling fairly seriously, and this is the champion that throws pancakes out of his belt. Okay. I don't agree with the reaction, but I can't say it's unjustified.
Right. Not unjustified.
Okay, just speaking as a Canadian, I was actually being a fan for Kofi tonight, so I'm like, yeah, go Kofi, go. Because, you know, I'm sick of Randy, but.
Okay. But here's the problem with this matchup. The ending. Stupid.
Ugh.
You didn't put on a great match and then you do a BS finish. Doesn't help your cause.
No, but here's the thing. If Randy wins, he wins the title. What are you going to do? There's no guaranteed rematch clause. So they'd have to figure out something to get Kofi in there to challenge for his title. And you know that's next to impossible and it would never happen. Blah, blah, blah. Read into it what I'm saying, kids.
Put the title
this
on
allows the feud to continue and deliver another match, increasing the stakes. Cause here's the whole thing. People are saying, well, why is that a double DQ? Like I'm reading this on Twitter. Why is that a double DQ? It was a double count out. Was it not?
It's a quick
count. It was a count out.
It was a quick count out.
It was like
too.
The fastest count out a wrestler ever given a title match.
Like you didn't even hear him count any numbers.
I heard him count. I heard him get to 8.
I didn't even hear them count. I was like, okay, it's count out. All right, whatever.
Yeah, no, I heard some numbers being thrown out there.
But it was like, it was quick. Really quick.
But the whole idea about it is bringing Kofi's family into it now that the kids are old enough to understand a little bit of what's going on. And I get that.
But this is SummerSlam. Yeah. It's SummerSlam. You do a clean finish. You're not worried about Clash of Champions. Worry about SummerSlam. Like, you do the clean finish here. This is where conclusion should be. This is not the starting point. It should be the conclusion. It's SummerSlam. But apparently it's just an August pay-per-view. I don't know. I did not like the finish.
No, finish didn't work.
There are a lot of different ways they could have finished that. That would have worked better. And still, you wind up with the same result. One way or the other.
You want a better result? You do everything you did, but call for the bell when Kofi grabs a cane. Let Kofi explode and get DQ'd. What does it hurt him to get DQ'd? He still retains
the
title.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Because you did everything.
Randy Orton wins via DQ. However, still your champion, Kofi.
That makes more of a statement than a bogus double countout. Because it still told the same exact story you wanted to tell. But, oh, hey, double countout, then he stands tall because he beat his ass. Like...
Yeah, double count out, fine, wimpy finish. The DQ, because Randy gets into the little kid's face and taunts them, and dad comes to the rescue?
That makes
better
sense.
Better writing.
So there's that. See how they explain it on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have your main event.
Oh boy, another Brock Lesnar match. Yay! 2 moves of offense, alright, then suplex, 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 2 moves of offense, suplex, 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 F5, okay, Brock retains.
Oh my god.
But that didn't happen!
Oh my god, Brock Lesnar won the title back. Oh my god, Seth Rollins, this is so bad. Why isn't Seth champion? Oh my god. I hate Brock Lesnar. Can we get rid of Brock? Cancel network.
I'm gonna just start off right now by saying good job, Brock Lesnar, for jobbing the way you did. That was next level.
Okay. The one know what next level is? Lesnar swinging Rollins around by the tape on his ribs.
Yeah. Oh,
you know that hurt. Even ignore the fact he's pretending to have buggered up ribs from the last 2 weeks. You know that hurt to begin with.
Oh yeah, that's at least half his body weight pulling into the lower rib cage. That sucks.
And that tape had rolled up into a rope. I don't know if you've ever gone swinging on a rope off a tree in the summertime. Kids have done this.
To be summertime.
Well, usually the scenario is summertime. And little kids will do this because they wait next to shit, sweet fuck all. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really hurt. I've done it before. Swinging on a rope that has been tied into a loop and, okay, yeah, whoop-dee, whatever. And then as an adult, trying to relive a thing that I did in my childhood at a relative's farm. It was exactly the same farm, well, probably exactly the same rope that's been hanging there for 50 years. Holy shit, that hurts when you've actually got a couple of pounds on you.
So yeah, this was a good match. Brock delivered. Brock worked his ass off in this one.
Absolutely. This is why I just had kudos.
Yeah, it's it was surprising. Like the last few matches, I've been so sick of that Lesnar match where it looks like you plugged in your Game Shark, gave yourself infinite finishes in WWE game, and that's literally the entire match. Is just finishers and low blows.
I've never had a Game Shark, never used one.
You didn't have any low blows in this one. This was pretty clean. It was a clean finish at the end. Brock worked his ass off. They went 13 and a half minutes. It's long for a Brock match.
You could see it on him too. He was about Shane McMahon level sweaty.
But at least he was doing stuff instead of, unlike Shane who just sort of sweats to get out there.
Shane sweats just by walking.
Yeah, but Lesnar worked his ass off and he delivered a main event worthy match, and what you needed out of your top guy.
This was not your standard Brock Lesnar wrestling show, this match. I think it was about the 7 or 8 minute mark I realized, hey, this is going to actually be something. Because it took about that long. I mean, you've seen Brock in 9 minute matches before where he's just turned up the volume and destroyed his opponent. Not this time.
So yeah, in the end, Seth Rollins with a curb stomp. Escaping the F5. 1, 2, 3. Your new WWE Universal Champion. Sign back up for those networks. Seth Rollins is your champion again.
Well, here's the thing. Watching this match, even right up until just before the pinfall, I wasn't convinced that Seth actually had a chance because it was Brock. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, it's a really, really good finish and good match, good main event. Overall enjoyable show.
Mm-hmm.
Did we actually have anything to bitch about? Did we bitch about anything tonight?
Little things.
Well, finish of Kofi and Orton.
Well, I think that was nitpicking more than bitching. I mean, there's stuff that we've really torn apart.
Bailey and Ember underperforming.
But we weren't critiqued. We critiqued.
We critiqued.
Yeah, we didn't have anything to bitch about tonight.
There was nothing bad about this show. Were there things?
I'm angry. We had nothing to complain about. I'm going to go on Twitter and complain.
They censored Dolph when he called Goldberg a dipshit.
Not in Canada, they didn't.
Not on the YouTube feed either. Where on the watch along, you heard the word dipshit on it.
Ooh. Now the watch along gets the live version, of course. I'm trying to find a video of like the actual, like uncensored.
So, there's that. So, overall, really good show. But here's the thing about this show. Just based on the email I just got, this show was very predictable.
Is that the email that I think you got?
The updated one? Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by that myself.
That's a little, Yeah, so read them all, Tim.
Do I have to?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Here it is, everybody. The pick'em results, you're not going to believe this, but we're going to start at the bottom. Tied in 14th place, two people. Well, one person, one inanimate object. Jenna, you tied the Magic 8-Ball at 5-4. Coming in 11th place, three-way tie, Rob, Vincent, and Alex Miller, 6-3. All right, 7th place, Jobber, Chris, Sheila, Michael, you all went 7-2. Tied for first, Tommy, the intern, Lindsay, Rock, Omega, and yours truly, the one and only Tim Stein, 8-1. And I got one wrong, because I said Brock was going to retain.
Yep, that was my wrong.
I think that was my wrong.
Yep. I bet you any money that was Lindsay's wrong. And, intern, Kane Kittens, that was yours too, wasn't it?
Let's find out. I'm looking at the sheet because it's in there. Tim had Lesnar, Omega had Lesnar. I had Rollins. I had Orton winning. That was my, Ricochet. I had Ricochet winning. That's what it was. Ricochet. Okay. I had Ricochet winning. Cause there's two crossed off. So I had Ricochet winning. That was mine. You guys had Lesnar. And Brent had Lesnar as well, yeah. So I had Rollins, but I had Ricochet winning.
Now, generally, our rule of thumb is if a pay-per-view is that predictable, it's going to be it's not that great a show. This is one of those exceptions to prove the rule.
Predictability is good when it's enjoyable.
Sometimes predictability is a good thing. But, wow. I mean, we've had pay-per-views in the past where the three of us on the webcast right now have gotten, like, one wrong, and we've hated the pay-per-view.
But that's our show.
That is it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to listen to the SummerSlam review. Don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the post show.
It's Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Let's see, you do other stuff on the computer with the video games, and I think you call it Fortnite with friends.
That's Thursday and Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. On Saturdays, right after the Rack. On Thursdays, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. episode 18, available Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. It'll be available for download.
My goodness. Hey, do you guys follow the Ms. and Mrs.? Rock and Lindsay do.
I just plucked the goddamn thing. Anyway, Thursday.
I know that. Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, as close as they can get to it, which is like 10 o'clock Eastern. It's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning Rock Radio Show.
We'll review SummerSlam, NXT, maybe I think there's matches, and news and all that other fun stuff. It's the Rock Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, Rock Radio Show, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Coming soon, I have a stack of books. Books reviews are incoming. So a lot of Rack Extras incoming in the next week or two. We got Brian Alvarez's book. We got the Ninja Get Good book and a bunch of others that we're going to get to.
Oh, joy. It's Rocks the Rack Book Club.
We have stuff. We have reviews incoming. So enjoy. Free books. So we have a lot of them. And more is coming. Anyway, go ahead.
Saturday night, midnight, or as close as they can get to it. Another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Unusual, the Not Fit for Prime Time. CB Radio.
Okay, hold on. I need to redo the rack plug, okay?
Oh, no, you did something wrong.
I did something wrong. Hey, join us Thursday night for the rack where Lindsay screams about Bray Wyatt and more. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight is at CB Radio. GreaterThanGreatTheBay.com. We're having revenge on the intern. Saturday night, midnight is CB Radio Live.com.
Wait a second, did Lindsay just, like, message you on Skype privately and said something about squeeing?
She said scream, and once said squee, she said scream, and that's what I said.
Okay, well, I was close enough to be considered.
She said, that's going to be a show, her screaming about Bray Wyatt, so that's the preview, there you go.
There you are, there you be, and of course, next Sunday night, if there's anything to talk about, we will get on the air and talk about it on WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, the original, the one, the only. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, I hope that you enjoyed the show tonight. If you didn't enjoy the show tonight, complain. And how do you do that? Well, you can follow me on the Twitter machine, at Flames Forums. If you want to get political, uncensored, and downright nasty, follow me at Voicing Sanity, the other Twiddler handle.
Twiddler?
That's me.
What's a Twiddler? Huh? What's a Twiddler?
Twitter handle.
You said Twitter.
Okay, I've got a toothpick in my mouth, and so I got in the way of my tongue. Anyway, the Wild Talk Radio Network can be checked out on the Twiddle handle. That time I did it on purpose.
At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. At WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Follow and subscribe. Twitch.tv/WTR Live. You have Amazon Prime account. Link it to your Twitch account. Call Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free and support the channel because I spent a lot of money to get this show back up and running. Also, use
credit
code.
I said it on purpose.
Use credit code RocketSock at the Fortnite Item Shop. Omega, plug stuff.
Quick.
Oh, no. Okay.
Sorry.
Too much pressure. So,
good night, everybody.
Why not?
Up,
if you want to find out everything I am doing on the internet, you can generally find it in one place. Unless you want to go check me out on Facebook, that is TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, You can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the YouTube channel with 1,000 videos worth of content. That is the Twitter handle where I am posting constantly. And if you want a little bit of extra stuff, that is over at TJOmega.net.
You don't have to pay for fixing your computer, do you?
Uh-uh. No.
No, he already did that expense about 3 months ago. It was my turn.
Was that only 3 months ago?
Oh. Yeah, it has not been long.
Cool. I thought it was longer. I was like 6 or 9 months, but only 3 months. Wow.
Say goodnight, Tim.
Time to fly. I think we're done, son. I'm going to say goodnight. Goodnight.
WildTalkRadio.com.